Good afternoon. How are we doing today? Good? Where's the mystery harmonica? I really like it. I just don't know where it is, but thank you. There you are. Ah, thank you for playing. Yeah. Yeah. Let's start with a word of prayer. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer. Amen. See if you can relate to these words. We would love to see you. I never want to see you again. You're such a great cook. This is so good. What is it? What is it? It's really salty. Thank you for including us in this. We really appreciate it. Please don't include us in anything like this again. Don't worry. I understand. It's okay. What's wrong with you? Bring it in. Bring it in. Get away from me. Do not touch me. I don't hug. You know, you're really like the best person ever. Who do you think you are? That was amazing. Great job. Well done. Stop ruining my life. You have taught me God's love. Thanks to you, I'm sick. I like you. I love you. I want to keep you. I don't love you. Words. Words are powerful. They aren't just letters on a page or sounds our mouths and vocal cords can team up to make. There's much more to words than the definition we can look up in a dictionary. They are tools that convey and receive meaning, to get what's inside us outside and to process what is outside us within. Our lives are made up of words, aren't they? The words I started with, the affirmation and the criticism, affection and anger, acceptance and rejection, those are all words that have actually been said to me. They've all left a positive or a negative impact on my heart. Some of them are really sticky because of who said them, when they said them, what the context was. And I wonder if some of those phrases trigger memories of your own, feelings of your own, your stories. Maybe similar words have stuck to your life. Words are powerful. They change the way we think about everything from ourselves to each other, life, the world, God Himself. They all have a profound impact on us. That must be why wise King Solomon had so much to say about words, so many words about words. Proverb after proverb touches on this subject. And it's a great topical study. If you want to just search the power of words in Proverbs in Google, it'll be an interesting study. But today's focus is on one verse, Proverbs 15, verse 4, which we already read together, where Solomon says, "The soothing tongue is a tree of life." The soothing tongue is a tree of life. I'm going to need you to interact with each other for just a second, okay? I want you to turn to your neighbor and say, what comes to mind when you hear the word soothing? Soothing. So go ahead, turn. We'll give you a few seconds to do that. What comes to mind when you hear the word soothing? Okay, 5 seconds, wrap it up. I know it's exciting to talk about soothing things on this day of rest. Soothing. Okay. All right. Let's not fall asleep. Let's not get too comfortable. I'm glad we're feeling better. Here are some things that come to my mind. I think of chapstick. I could probably use some right now. Soothing. I think of that first refreshingly minty breath after you brush your teeth. It's soothing, right? Cool, ripe, juicy watermelon on a hot day. Sitting down after being on your feet all day long, right? In the hospital, whatever you do, sitting down. How about a massage? How about a day at the spa? My wife is going to the spa for like 3 hours tomorrow. I'm like, what are they gonna do? A love note, a good story. One of my favorites, going to bed. I love going to bed, soothing. A couple of days ago, Sarah Hayhoe had my family over for dinner, and mid-bite had an epiphany as she was eating. I didn't eat lunch today. She suddenly realized why the meal she was eating that she had made was so satisfying. It filled a void. It righted something that was not right in her. She was hungry. The Hebrew word for soothing is marpe, and can be translated as gentle, tranquil, calming, or healing. These are just heavenly words, aren't they? Heavenly words our souls long for in the midst of our hectic schedules, our busy lives. So then, a soothing or a healing tongue is a tree of life. So how do we heal others with our tongues? It's obviously figurative. Kids, don't go around licking anyone, trying to make them better. And don't blame it on me if it doesn't go well. Eden and Ezra are hopefully just getting out of that stage of wanting to lick me. It's kind of fun. But anyway, hopefully it doesn't go public. Certainly, this verse is talking about words having the power to heal. They can touch us deeply, can't they? Soothing words go down deep and heal. I'd love to have conversations with you all and to know what words have been spoken to you in your life that have soothed and healed your soul. But the first thing I thought of were words of encouragement or motivation when challenges and obstacles are overwhelming. As I was mid-sentence writing that last sentence I just said, one of our elders, Jacob Maxwell, texted me to let me know he was praying for me, assuring me that God was going to use me to bless you all through this sermon. He wasn't the only one that lifted my spirits and let me know prayers were ascending, and I'm grateful for all who texted and encouraged me at moments when I needed it. So yes, words of encouragement, assurance, and letting someone know you're praying can certainly be soothing. Words of acknowledgement and thanks when you've poured yourself into something. Words of invitation to friendship when you're feeling lonely. Hey, let's hang out. Words of apology when someone you love seeks reconciliation for a broken relationship. Words that clear the air. That's a good feeling. Words of hope, like good news from a doctor. A joke that hits just the right spot when you really need a laugh. Words of solidarity when you're enduring a difficult situation. Even words of loving correction, said with mercy, are powerfully healing. I know from experience, and I hope you have heard these kinds of words in your life when you've needed them as well. Again, soothing words heal. A soothing tongue is a tree of life. I know I've been hanging on this phrase for a while, but exploring these three words, tree of life, is pretty interesting. This tree is identified by name in only three books of the Bible. Obviously, it's here in Proverbs 15:4. So Proverbs is one of the books. It's also in three other verses in Proverbs. It's in Proverbs 3:18, where it speaks of wisdom as a tree of life. It's in Proverbs 11:30, where Solomon says, the fruit of the righteous is a tree of life, and the one who is wise saves lives. Proverbs 13:12 tells us, hope deferred makes the heart sick, but a longing fulfilled is a tree of life. What's up with this tree of life? Well, I think the other two books it's found in give us some light on that. You might have guessed the other two books that the tree of life is found in, Genesis and Revelation, the first book of the Bible, the last book of the Bible as well. We see this tree in the Garden of Eden and in the earth made new. In Genesis, it's noted to be in the middle of the Garden of Eden, before sin stained the planet. Once Adam and Eve fell for the serpent's temptation, the tree was guarded by an angel with a flaming sword to keep the couple from living forever in sin. The tree was said to give eternal life to those who ate its fruit. So that's the beginning, and then we see it again at the end in Revelation chapter 2, verse 7. We see that access to the tree of life is the Spirit's promised prize in paradise for those who are victorious over selfishness. Eternal life for those who repent and start living lives of love again. The tree of life is mentioned 3 times in the last chapter of the Bible. It is said to straddle the river of the water of life and produce 12 crops of fruit, one for every month of the year. And its medicinal leaves heal the nations. In Revelation 22:14, access is again promised for those who wash their robes. And verse 19 warns that those who take anything away from this book, Revelation, will lose their right to the tree of life. Now, my purpose right now isn't to get into the symbolic nature of these verses right now, but it is clear enough to me, and I hope to you, that the tree of life is something we all want access to, because its fruit provides life without end. Let's look at Proverbs 15:4 again in that light. A soothing tongue is a tree of life. What does it mean? It means that soothing, gentle, calming, healing, helpful words heal life for a long, long time, to say the least. They are a source of new life, even eternal life. Healing words are the gospel. They save people. You want to be a part of this. You want to receive and impart these words because soothing words heal life forever. Soothing words heal life forever, forever and ever. Amen. Words make a powerful and lasting impact. All of them. So then there's the other side of the coin that I've been avoiding up until this point, the other part of the verse for the day. A soothing tongue is a tree of life, but a perverse tongue crushes the spirit. The word perverse can be translated as crooked or deceptive. Rather than a tree of life, it's a crooked branch, a gnarled tree that no longer gives life, but rather takes it. It doesn't produce life-giving fruit, it just steals nutrients from the ground and destroys the lives of others. It's the serpent in the tree of knowledge of good and evil, acting like a big brother, a wise friend, but preying on God's children. Talk about getting the wind knocked out of you. Think of how Adam and Eve must have felt. The shock when they realized they were naked, the consequences of their actions, that they had to leave their paradise home, and they had to face death before anyone else had. Think deep depression. Think hopelessness. Think suicide. A perverse tongue crushes the spirit. Your soothing words, therefore, heal life forever. But your selfish words steal life forever. There's a story of a woman in a village who maliciously gossiped about another lady and her family. One day she found that she was wrong about this family in the village and had a change of heart. So she went to the village's wise man and asked how she could take back all the awful things she had said, all the wrong she had done. The wise man thought for a minute, and he told her, "Go home, kill your chickens, and pluck their feathers, and put them in a bag." After this, she was to go back and see the wise man again. But on her way back to the wise man, she was to scatter all the feathers she had plucked from the chickens. The lady did as she was told. When she got back to the man, he told her, "Now, here's the second thing you must do. Go back and pick up all the feathers that you have scattered." The woman was astonished at such a command and said, "By now the wind has carried the feathers throughout the village and beyond." And of course, the wise man told her, "So it is with your careless words. They are like the feathers scattered in the wind. You cannot retrieve them." With that, the woman left with a broken heart because of the words she had spoken. She went away determined to watch her words. Selfish words steal life forever. Gossiping, lying, angry words, boasting, flattering, giving false witness, saying more than we should. These all have the opposite effect of the life-giving words we are called to speak. They steal life and they don't give it back. But is it that serious? Yeah, it is. Just look online for all the stories of kids who have taken their lives because of text messages. Because of words, maybe with some pictures and videos attached. I just read a horrible story of a girl who was found guilty of involuntary manslaughter because of the text she sent her now deceased boyfriend as he committed suicide by carbon monoxide poisoning. I feel for her. I feel for the families involved. And whoever said that sticks and stones can break my bones, but words can never hurt me, was dead wrong. Words are powerful and they can be lethal. And have you noticed that negative words are stickier than positive words? Sure, positive words light us up, whether it's from a friend or a stranger, whoever. If somebody says, "Oh, you look good today," you're like, "Oh, thank you." Positive words light us up. But if one person makes fun of you, whose comment do you go home thinking about? What sticks with you? My wife just turned 30 about 2 weeks ago, and I wanted to get her a gift that she would never forget. 30, it's a milestone, it's a special birthday. So I asked her, "If money wasn't an issue, what would you want for your birthday?" She said she would want to have her student loans paid off. That's about $50,000. Yeah, get a couple cars. No. It would relieve some increasing financial stress that we've had in our lives as our youngest son has been diagnosed with this incredibly rare syndrome, the 5Q12 syndrome. About 10 people in the world are documented to have it, but it's going to require a lot of therapy and a lot of co-pays on top of what our middle child, Ezra, has to do for his mild cerebral palsy. So, being the idealistic husband I am, I started a GoFundMe campaign 30 days before her 30th birthday, trying to raise $30,000. In the beginning, I sent a lot of direct messages through Facebook. And when you send a direct message, it's a little more like, "Hey, I'm talking to you specifically." And so people will more often respond than if you just put something on your page. So I wrote direct messages to people that I thought would be supportive of such a gift for Deanne's 30th birthday. But I actually got some pretty disappointing responses. I'm not going to read them, but some of the words shook my confidence in what I was doing. Like, "Oh, is this really okay for me to be doing?" Or it shook my confidence a bit. Thankfully, I can laugh and shake my head about it now because, praise God, as of yesterday, because of an incredible number of supporters from around the world, literally, the goal was met. But I remember, after all that positivity, after all the kindness, I remember by name the words of people that said words, or the names of people that said words that stung my heart. And it took a lot of positive words in the beginning to get my confidence back. Some of the words were actually from fellow believers, and we all know that hurtful words do happen at church, don't we? Why is that? It's because people are here. I know there are many who are not here anymore, especially youth and young adults, because of perverse, crooked, and deceptive things that have been said by well-meaning people, mind you. When my brother was in academy, we were a little bit different from each other, for sure. But people said things to him that they shouldn't have. And one example that I can remember, just because it's so striking, is that a teacher that he actually liked told him that he was like yin and I was like yang. He was like the bad brother and I was like the good brother, like polar opposites. And I don't know how that affected my brother, but as I think back, it really bothers me. I don't know how it affected him, but I know he doesn't go to church anymore. I wonder what else others said to my brother as well. And it's not just others who have a problem. I am also guilty of saying many horrible things about people, things that have stolen life, wasted life, like calling girls in grade school fat or ugly. One actually told me years later how I had hurt her. She struggled because of my words. It stole life from her. I've not only said things that I shouldn't have, I've also shied away from saying things that I should have to heal people, to stand up for people, to defend them. Check out what James 3 has to say on this subject. Starting in verse 2, James says, "Anyone who is never at fault in what they say is perfect, able to keep their whole body in check." Verse 6 says, "The tongue is a fire, a world of evil among the parts of the body. It corrupts the whole body, sets the whole course of one's life on fire, and is itself set on fire by hell." All kinds of animals, birds, reptiles, and sea creatures are being tamed and have been tamed by mankind. But no human being can tame the tongue. It is a restless evil full of deadly poison. I see those verses saying, we can't help ourselves. As you may have heard, hurt people hurt people. Jesus said it this way in Luke 6:45, "Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks." We can't really do things contrary to who we are. This is why Proverbs says multiple times that it's the fear of the Lord that is the beginning of wisdom. We can't do it ourselves. We can't just grab the wisdom from Proverbs, subtract God, and live a life that really works. It starts with the fear of the Lord. James says that no human being can tame the tongue. I think there's an invitation there that the Lord is the only one that can take your crooked branch of a tongue and make it a tree of life. Only he can purify your heart and mine of selfishness and fill them with selfless love. Our righteousness, our own efforts, our best are like filthy rags, aren't they? Remember that. Remember that when you want to criticize or talk about others. Remember, the only reason you have any ability to do anything good is because of the enabling grace and power of God in your life. What I've told you today may have come from different angles than you've heard before. Maybe you didn't see those connections with the tree of life or whatever it might have been. But the truth is, you already know what I'm saying. It's obvious to you that kind words are good for people and hurtful words hurt people. Like, you already know this. You get the concept. But I've read a book recently called Growing Young, and it talks about how to make church a place where young people thrive. That's what we want our church to be, right? You hired a youth, a family, and a young adult pastor. This is a church that wants to thrive with young adults. And so the book talks about that. I've also taken classes and attended lectures on the same topic. They're helpful because they put words to things that we kind of understand already, but we're slow to learn through our practical experience. And this is what I would summarize what I've read to say. Judge not, lest you be judged. Listen before you talk. Love your neighbor as yourself. Just be nice. Just try to be kind. We don't have so much a problem with knowing that we should do these things. We have a problem with doing these things because no human being can control the most powerful muscle in the world, the tongue. So I'm saying two things right now that may be making you uncomfortable. They don't really fit well together. On one hand, your soothing words heal life forever. They leave a helpful impact forever. And your selfish words steal life forever, ever. They never give life back. And I'm also saying you can't control your words. So what do? If we can't control ourselves, but we know the pain that we can cause through our words or the promise we can bring through our words, but we can't really control it, what do? Here's what I appeal that we all, including myself, do. Don't just focus on trying to control your words. Keep the names inside or the expletives from coming out. Focus on aligning your heart with God. Far too many have left our churches with crushed spirit syndrome under the condemnation of fire-spitting church members, more so than any other denomination, mind you. Church members, young and old, who may or may not mean well, are motivated by self-interest, the fear of losing control over their own lives or church as they think it should be. We hurt people. We are hurt people who hurt people. We choose self over speaking the truth in genuine, slow love, taking time for each other. Love that gets messy and prioritizes people over our preferences. By the way, our preferences and our opinions are not equal to God's. His ways are higher than our ways, always. And if there's ever an us and them, in church or out of it, both parties can only do right by God's grace poured out upon them. The wheat and the tares are meant to grow up together until Jesus return, and he is the one who will sort it out. That's not our job. So what do? We can't control how others use their words to heal or to steal life from those they interact with. We can't even control our own mouths. But we can choose to listen to God's voice through prayer and his word. Listening in prayer, not just talking, but listening for his voice. His tongue is a soothing, calming tree of life. His words heal our lives forever. Tune in to them. When he is cleansing, when he is healing us, he can use us to bring that healing to others because we realize we too are in dire need of his help to do anything good. God doesn't tell us to do anything that he doesn't do himself. His words are healing, a tree of life, and we see that in Jesus' life and ministry on this earth. We see that tax collectors and sinners, the unmentionables, were attracted to Jesus. They wanted to hang out with him. They wanted to be around him. He came to live among us and bring life to the crushed spirits, to bring light to the darkness, to reach tax collectors, to Pharisees, and everyone in between. He can bring healing through us as well. His calling, His command, his invitation is his enabling. So let us come to Jesus, receive from him the healing that he wants to bring to our bent and broken lives. So in closing, this series is very much about what we can do practically. Here are some suggestions for you to become a tree of life, bringing eternal healing to those you speak to. Number one, slow down and recognize your brokenness and your complete need of grace before you speak into the life of somebody else. If you don't have anything constructive to say, don't say anything. If you don't know how to speak the truth in love, then wait until you figure it out. Listen until you truly love and understand the other person. Ask God to heal and change your thoughts, because our words just reveal what's going on inside of us, how we think. Work with God to look for the positive in others rather than repeating and deepening the wrongs. Jesus sees in each person someone worthy of dying for, of sacrificing his life for. We can find something in every person. Surround yourself with uplifting people whose positive words are contagious. If you've hurt someone with your words, make today the day that you make things right. Reconciliation is sweet. Finally, don't participate or invest yourself in gossip, lying, or slander. No negative talk, even if it's true. Instead, get close to people, especially our young people. Build close relationships that matter, relationships that make a difference, relationships that make your words more meaningful, stickier. All this because your soothing words heal life forever, and your selfish words steal life forever.